Morning. We will just be going through three scripture readings to begin with this morning. And we're going to start in Philippians, the first chapter of the book of Philippians, in verse 29. Now, I would like you to notice as we read these three verses together, I want you to notice in each verse what the subject is, what the writer is considering. And I'm also going to point out a certain word for you to remember, so that as we go along, you can recall it back to mind. So notice the subject, and I will draw the attention to the word that I'd like for you to remember. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, chapter 1 and verse 29, "For unto you," that is, you Christians, "it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." The subject is suffering. Notice the word "given." It is given on the behalf of Christ. And now, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Again, the Apostle Paul speaking to the Christians at Thessalonica. Chapter 3, verse 3. "So that no man should be moved or shaken by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we also are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know." The subject, afflictions. The word, appointed. Appointed. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. We considered these passages this past Wednesday night. The Apostle Peter speaking to God's own. "For this is thankworthy, finds favor, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow His steps." The subject, grief. The word, appointed. Appointed. Let's look to the Lord once again. Father in heaven, you do well know that the things that we are considering this morning and again tonight require honesty of heart and soul. And this you demand from your children. We pray for these listeners, these hearers, these dear ones here assembled together this morning, that there would be honesty of heart and soul before the one that has saved them. Give them understanding from your word. Give us light and life For thy word divides the soul and the spirit asunder. And only thy word can convict and change our hearts. We commit these things and these matters to thee, Lord, in the name and for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This past Wednesday night, we started a study on the value and the necessity of trials in my life as a believer in Christ. Now, from that initial study, we learned that God's use of trials in my life is, in fact, the normal Christian life. And if I receive them and exercise by them, God will then, on His part, produce Christ in me. Now, this is a great principle of Scripture. Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3 that we read, we discover there that God has appointed all Christians to suffer. We are appointed to that. Now, it may be large or small, and it can vary to degree of severity, but all of God's children are appointed to affliction. Now, it may be large or small, but there it is. And in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, we discovered that for all Christians, in Philippians chapter 1, it is given to us to suffer for Christ's sake. It is given to us. Now, that word given denotes a gift. Now, this is a gift which we as human beings are very reluctant to receive most of the time. But God wants us to understand that it is indeed a gift. Because by this gift, if we receive it, God will on His part produce Christ in us. Now, if you notice in verse 20 here of 1 Peter chapter 2, at the very end of verse 20, it points out to us that if we receive these griefs that he spoke of, these trials of life, it is acceptable with God. Now, this word acceptable in the King James Version really doesn't do that word justice. In other versions of the Scripture, it means commendable. It means it finds favor with God. And I think my favorite rendering, personally, of this word acceptable is found in the Amplified Version, where it says, griefs and trials are pleasing to God. Griefs and trials are pleasing to God. So we discover that trials are a gift from God, and if I will receive them and respond to them in God's way, then I will please Him and find favor with Him. Well, that's the theology, dear ones. That's the theology. But most of us do not practice the theology. As a consequence of this, many of us live shallow, stunted Christian lives. What we fail to comprehend is that trials are God's chief means to produce in me a Christ-like life and walk. Now, in verse 21 of 1 Peter chapter 2 here, it says, God has called us to suffering. And in 1 Thessalonians, in verse 3 that we read, it says, we are appointed to affliction. And as we know from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29, it is given to us to suffer. In other words, it is a peculiar, special gift that God uses in every one of our lives to refine us into the image of His Son. So trials are God's primary method to produce Christ's characteristics and attributes in my life. He has called us to them, 1 Peter. He has appointed us to them, 1 Thessalonians 3. And He has given them to us, Philippians chapter 1. What the Scriptures teach is that I, as a Christian, learn obedience through the things that I suffer. Now, even the Old Testament saints understood this teaching. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, he said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, so that I might learn thy statutes." We're going to consider that verse in more depth tonight. Now, what we would like to do is to understand how these things operate and how God carries them out in our daily, everyday life. Now, first of all, I do not believe that we fully understand what a trial truly is. And we touched on this Wednesday night. We do not have a consciousness of what a trial is. Nor are we even aware many times that God is even dealing with me. Now let me explain that. A trial or an affliction is any unpleasant occurrence or happening in my life. And it is frequently, dear ones, the smallest of matters. Now, this is by God's direct design. It is not a mistake. It may be an unpleasant situation at work. It may be an unpleasant situation at school. It may be friction with a relative. It may be my dealings with my wife or with my husband. It may be friction with other believers. It may be dissatisfaction and discontent with my personal circumstances. In short, it is anything that comes into my life that is of an unpleasant nature. Now, dear Christian, when anything unpleasant occurs in your life, be aware of this. Be on guard. God has sent it your way, appointed, called, given. It's the Word of God. He has permitted it for His divine purpose of refining you and bringing forth Christ out of your heart. Now, it is a grave mistake to ignore or reject the seemingly small incidences of life. God is trying to accomplish something in my life through these daily unpleasant happenings that occur in my life, no matter how small they may be. Now, this truth is borne out in verse 10 of the fifth chapter of 1 Peter here. Turn over to just over a page to chapter 5 and notice verse 10. Peter says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while," "make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Now, this is what God is attempting to accomplish in each one of our lives through the unpleasant things in life. He wants to make us perfect and complete, Peter says. He wants to establish and ground us. He wants to strengthen us and settle us in Christ. Now, perhaps at this point, each one of us needs to do some personal self-examination. I believe that God can use to give us some clarity of mind into my own personal situation. Now, I want you to do something here. I want you to do a little mental exercise this morning. I want you to think, go back in your mind, and think about the most recent unpleasant experience or experiences that you have personally been through. And please, it does not matter how small it is. Okay, are you zeroed in your mind on this experience or these experiences? Have you got them in your mind? All right, let's think about this together. The first question that I need to ask myself, and this is perhaps the most important question, how did I react to this unpleasant experience that is in my mind that I'm thinking of? And I'm trusting that you're doing this before the Lord, that you are indeed thinking of that. How did I react to it? How did I respond to it? Now, I caution you to remember what David, by inspiration of God, said. He said this. He said, God desires truth in the inward parts. God desires truth in the inward parts. Now, we are all before God at this point, dear ones. God demands me to be totally honest with myself and with Him. So again, how did I react to this unpleasant experience or experiences that I'm now thinking of? Well, to help us answer this question, let me pose some questions to you that I believe that God would have us honestly answer. The first question, did I respond to this unpleasant situation or any unpleasant situation, did I respond to this unpleasant situation with anger? With anger. Okay, number two. Did I respond to this unpleasant situation with feeling sorry for myself? You know, hurt feelings. Next question. Did I respond to this unpleasant situation with anxiety or worry or fear? Okay. Did I respond to this unpleasant situation with stress? Did it make me stressful or tense? In other words, what we're talking about is a lack of peace. Fifthly, did I respond to this unpleasant situation with hopelessness or depression? Did I throw up my hands? Did I give up? And the last question, did I respond to this unpleasant situation with self-reasoning or rationalization or self-justification? You know, I'm right, they're wrong. Been there, right? I'm right, they're wrong. Okay, I think these questions are sufficient to help me understand what God is showing me about myself. That is, of course, if I've been honest with God this morning. Now, ask yourself this. Are any of those responses that I gave to you, Are any of those responses glorifying to God? Well, we know they are not. We know they are not. And yet, these responses are our responses every day to the unpleasant things that come up in my life. When I react to God's trials in my life, whether it be anger or anxiety or self-justification or self-pity, then God's goal for me is not being worked out. And in addition to this, we must absolutely understand that what the Bible calls trials and afflictions is any circumstance in my life that is characterized by unpleasantness. It does not matter how small it may seem to be. It can be in the grocery store and being offended by the checkout clerk. Dear ones, it's of God. It's of God. You see, God uses the daily nuisances and afflictions and frictions of daily life to refine me and mold me into what He wants me to become. More like His Son. More like His Son. Now, many of us are unknowingly, effectively blocking God's direct working in my life. And we do not even realize it. We do not even realize it. And let me point something out to you which many of God's people either forget or ignore or are unaware of. And that is this. God uses other people's failures and sins to mold me into what He wants me to be. We need to understand this. The Old Testament patriarch Job went through this very same divine process. Job's three friends brought great distress and agitation and sorrow of heart to him. But when Job finally went God's way, God was able to bless him and to use him for His glory. Now, let me read you a quote from one of the best books written on the subject of trials in the Christian's life. This is taken from the book written by Mrs. Judson Elliott on the value of trials. And this dear one had an insight into God's trials. But she said this. She said, some of the hardest trials that we bear result from the sins and mistakes of others. Some of the hardest trials that we bear result from the sins and mistakes of others. And dear ones, that is by God's design. It's not a mistake. It's not a coincidence. It's not an accident. Dear Christian, God wants you to know that the friction that you experience from others, whether it's a believer or an unbeliever, is God's direct, sovereign working in your life. And it makes no difference whether it is a large matter or a small matter. God is making it His business to deal with me. And God desires to elicit a response and a reaction from me that will glorify Him and bring Christ out in me. And by the way, dear ones, it does not matter whether you are right or wrong in that circumstance. It doesn't make any difference. God is looking for you to bow your heart to Him in that trial. Whether right or wrong, it makes no difference for God's purposes. Now, at this point, let's think about some real practical ways in which I, as a Christian, should deal with life's afflictions and trials. Now, I believe that these are God-honoring ways, and they are taken from the Scriptures, to respond to life's unpleasant experiences. Experiences that I will remind you that God has directly placed in my path. Now, remember, the Scriptures tell us that they are given to us, that we are appointed to them, and that we are called to them. Okay? So, how does God want me to respond to any unpleasant experience of life? Okay. First of all, after my first reaction, my initial reaction to this experience, I should stop at this point and ask myself the question, did I react and respond to this happening in a way that was glorifying to God? Did I? Now, this requires honesty before God. Remember, David said, "Thou, O God, desirest truth in the inward parts." So did I react to this situation in a way that would glorify God? So in my first reaction to this situation, what thoughts came into my heart and mind? What thoughts came into my heart and my mind? Furthermore, what came out of my mouth? Okay, at this point, your first reaction to this unpleasant experience, if it was not to God's glory, well, then you know it is sin. You know it's sin. Now, my reaction was of the flesh, and that cannot, the flesh can never please God. Therefore, at this point in the process, I should recognize that, and I should confess it to God for what it is. It's sin. It's sin. And, of course, this process is supervised by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's convicting us of this. He's the one that's convincing us of this. Now, if anger was my first reaction, then it needs to be confessed, doesn't it? If it was taking offense, it should be confessed. If it was anxiety or depression or self-justification or a critical heart or any other response of the flesh, it should be confessed openly and without restraint to God. Now, when I do this, God can start His divine process in my life to bring Christ out in me. And as I start to deal with the unpleasant happenings of life in this manner, in God's prescribed way, He brings more unpleasant occurrences or the same ones repeatedly. You know, He can do that. But I will become increasingly more aware of what God is doing and will increasingly more and more go God's way. This is how this process works. Dear Christians, it is critically important for me as a Christian to understand that when an unpleasant situation comes into my life, no matter how small, God is attempting to teach me. He is attempting to speak to me. He is attempting to establish me, to strengthen me in Christ, as verse 10 of 1 Peter 5 says. He is attempting to bring Christ out in me. He has called me to it. He has appointed me to it. And He has given it to me. Now, dear Christian, do not defeat God's purposes. Do not ignore God's purposes. Do not be unaware of God's purposes. Understand that unpleasant happenings of life is God speaking directly to me. He is trying to accomplish something in my life and in my heart. And those things will glorify His Son and will result in my reward. Reward and joy in this life and reward in the next life. Over the past year, we have talked much about what the Bible teaches us about our hearts. Now, according to James, God always gives grace to the humbled heart. Always. He produces His grace in such a heart. He exalts the humble, James says. He lifts up the humbled heart. That's what James would tell us in the fourth chapter of his book. The contrite, humbled heart of the child of God both receives God's afflictions and is increased by them. The proud heart does not receive God's unpleasant dealings. The proud heart will not receive these unpleasant things. The proud heart deals with these dealings in his own way. In his own way. And the proud heart is not even aware that God is attempting to teach him his ways. Dear ones, let us be thinking, sensitive Christians. Thinking, sensitive Christians. The next time we receive an unkind word, a difficult, trying situation, frictions with other people, no matter what the unpleasantness happens to be, no matter what its source is, let me be on the alert. God is directly dealing with me. He is using one of His chief methods to produce Christ in me. Do not ignore it. Do not be unaware of it. Do not reject it. God's glory and your Christ-likeness is at stake. It has eternal ramifications that cannot be measured in this lifetime. It was the deliberate and intentional path of our Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. We know this. And it is our path as well as His blood-bought children. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we have heard things this morning. Even though somewhat unpleasant, Lord, when we came to the Lord Jesus Christ and were convicted of our sin, was it pleasant? Oh no. Oh no. But oh God, What joy it brought when we responded to it. When we reacted to that unpleasant happening. Is it not the same now, Lord? Do you not bring unpleasant things in our life almost every day? Lord, we understand that they are deliberate, that these are no accidents. This is not happenstance. This is the God of the universe dealing with His child. Oh, dear God, we pray that for each dear blood-bought child this morning, that we would have a recognition of what You're doing in our life, that we would not be unaware of it, that we would not ignore it, that we would not reject it, but, oh God, that we would have an opportunity to bring glory to Thee through it. Oh Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ, the path that He walked, the God of creation, the very One that created us, had nowhere to lay His head. He did that for us, each one of us. You have told us that this is our path. Oh God, may we receive it. May we not shrink from it. May we be aware of what Thy Spirit is doing in our hearts every day through these unpleasant things that come across our path. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified, and may He receive the rightful praise and honor in a life which is lived out for Him, where You have bought Christ out of a poor sinner's soul, where You can bring glory in a future day when the angels look at sinful men and see, look what Christ did in that man's heart. Look what He did. Look what He did in that woman's heart. How they reacted to these unpleasant things of life and brought glory to the One that saved them. Oh God, these are eternal matters. These aren't daily matters of life. These are eternal matters. May we make them so. May we acknowledge the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ in the way that we react, and that the way we respond to our trials and the unpleasant things of life. We pray this to the glory and the honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.